Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm not Addy.
That's so true. That's so true.
And I'm Mo, the Crown Prince of Charisma, and a vegetarian. Didn't you say you were also a vegetarian now?
No, I like women.
Oh, so you're a vegetarian?
I am a vegetarian.
Nice. So this show is probably going to be subtitled Addy Rants on Raw. Because when we last were with you guys, we said we weren't sure when we were going to do our next show, if it was going to be after some Money in the Bank or whatever. We were kind of giving our preview for Money in the Bank. Then Raw happens. And Addy hates it. And he's like, I got to talk on this shit.
Raw was Money in the Skank.
Ah. Kelly Kelly's back?
Yeah, it really is. It's actually money in the I don't give a fuck.
Well, actually, it's no money is the thing. It's no lies. It's no money. I think this is going to do extremely poorly. And a lot of that is probably because they're far more focused on promoting Raw 1000 than Money in the Bank. And perhaps rightly so. But it's still going to do poorly for them.
Oh, no, not – there's no way that there's perhaps rightly so. I mean, it's money that they've already been given as they're going to 3 hours. One Raw 1000 rating isn't going to push this. We watched Impact last Thursday and commented on our last show of how well that show did in pushing both the pay-per-view and the Joseph Park Bully Ray thing. I mean, so it's possible to do. It's not like they're promoting this ultimate match on Raw 1000, at least not yet. They're promoting, you know, The Rock's going to be there, right? Mick Foley's going to be there. Brock Lesnar's going to answer Triple H. That's the only
Did
thing.
Did you say that Steve Blackman's going to be there?
Steve Blackman is going to be there. So he's got to have a match.
Well, is he going to beat up Heath Slater?
I would hope so. But, I mean, Bret Hart's going to be there. I mean, there's a list of returning. I would presume that everybody that's beaten up Heath Slater will be there in some form again. But, I mean, again, you're talking about celebrating that Raw 1000 moment and, like I said, all the stars of the past. But, as I said, they're not promoting a show. They're just promoting the people so far that are going to be on this show.
That's true. But perhaps that moment is bigger in their minds than that moment is kicking off the 3 hours. That moment is leading to hopefully a big pay-per-view buy rate for SummerSlam. That moment is celebrating 1,000 shows, which is, I mean, while there's a lot of bullshit in there, did you know facts, it is quite an achievement for them.
Well, it is, and I mean, and they're going to also be then
Money in the Bank every year.
Yeah, who'd they ever beat? But the thing is with it, and I understand that part of it, but I mean, you've also got that. Is that the day after? No, so you've got another show to promote the match. And the fact is that they've got the contract, they've got the 3 hours, you know, they've got the money behind that. One rating, whether Raw 1000 does a 3.2 or a 3.8, there's still, that's not going to be the determining factor in whether this fucking abortion of an idea ends in January or February. It's going to mean that it's not going to mean anything. So but the fact is that by promoting and putting on matches that maybe someone actually wants to see, and not fucking up a Daniel Bryan CM Punk match, which I have to give right now, we talk about douche or no douche. Brian Gewirtz is a genius because he's been able to fuck up Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
Yeah, that takes some doing.
And that takes some fucking god awful talent. But he's got it, and he's done it. And now no one wants to buy this fucking show. No one wants to see the results. No one wants to see what the fuck happens. Nobody gives a fuck if John Cena, Kane, The Big Show, or Chris Jericho even do anything the following week on Raw, let alone have the opportunity to win a championship. And we'll get to Raw where John Cena guaranteed victory, and you all know how that babyface bullshit goes. So here we are, wonderful. We've got CM Punk against John Cena at the SummerSlam. Woohoo!
Cashing in the Money in the Bank. I don't even expect that. I still think I still think Big Show wins it, but, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Who cares is more the question. It's not who knows. It's who gives a flying fuck.
Well, that's part of the problem when we start talking about and this isn't how the show was going to go, but we're getting off here. Let's keep going. That's part of the problem when you're talking about the fact that you're taking four people who already have been multiple-time champions and you give them a chance to once again get another title shot. It's never going to be interesting. But then again, like I said earlier, I mean, you got people right now who aren't multiple-time champions or, you know, fresh people in the title picture, and you managed to make me sick of them too. Because again, it comes back to what we talked about, Impact. How many times did we see in the last 2 months, how many times did we see Bobby Roode Russell match? I think 3 matches in 2 months?
Yeah.
How many times did we see? I think 3 matches for Austin Aries, right? Meanwhile, I watch you know, Sheamus Russell 2 matches a week. John Cena Russell 2 matches a week. Chris Jericho Russell 2 matches a week, largely against each other. And yeah. Of course, I'm not going to give a shit.
Well, no, and the fact is that I
now I got to pay to watch them wrestle. Well, that's so unique.
Yeah.
Course, right.
Well, and I mean, I don't give a fuck if John Cena gets another title run or not. Will he? Yes. Should he? Who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck whether Kane even wrestles another match.
The guy I could probably give the fuck about at least, and the guy who to me looks like he doesn't give a fuck right now, is Chris Jericho. Talk about a guy who looks like he's just back to cash in a paycheck right now. Hey, I'm going to do a funny little Curb Your Enthusiasm, try and figure out if you're lying segment backstage with Santino Marella, and it's going to fall flat like everything else Santino does on that show. That guy, he's like, okay, I'm back. I wasn't able to move ratings last time. I wasn't able to make any money. I'm already in the Hall of Famer. I've already, you know, I'm here. I'm not here to put anybody over. I'm not even trying to make the product any better like I did when I tried to help put the tag team belts over a few years ago. When I tried to make a difference, I realized I can't. So I'm here now, and I don't care if you guys turn me into a comedy character and I just make a joke of myself. I'm just here collecting a paycheck. That's what he seems like to me right now.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for that.
No.
I mean, because like you said, he did all that stuff, and it didn't matter to Jack Schritt. So, I mean, but yeah, again,
couldn't have mattered less.
It really couldn't have mattered less. And now you've got, you know, as I said, I mean, Big Show, who gives a fuck? Jericho, who gives a fuck? I mean, so you've got four people that don't give a fuck. Like you said, you've got Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus, who seem to, whether or not they're fighting each other, they're fucking fighting every week, so I don't give a fuck about either one of them. This whole pay-per-view, we went through it just after I think you texted to me the other day or yesterday, was the more and more you think on the Destination X pay-per-view, the more and more you liked it. I think you gave it 6.5 to my 6, and I'm willing to go up to even a 7 at this point.
Yeah, now. Yeah, I kind of think so. The more I look back at it, I'm like, you know what? That was good, and that was good. And again, I think it was partially like I was looking at different segments and going, that was good, that was good, that was good. Nothing was poor. I mean, I gave it a 6.5, but I think, like I said, that's partially because I think the crowd was a little down on energy, and I think we were both a little down on energy too. So it's our own mood, you know, the fact that it's insanely hot here for what we're used to and things like that. I think that all affected kind of how I viewed that show. And as I look back on it, I went, yeah, that was a really good show. And then you got this. And we have less interest after Raw than we do, both of us, for Money in the Bank before. And before this, we were basically going, the only reason we're going to watch it is because we do a show.
Yeah, now
it's like, well, maybe we might not even do that. Like, it's we're talking about the reboot that WWE needs, and part of the reboot isn't just it's so deep. The problems this company have right now are they run so deep. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's like me and your mom, but it's amazing the fact that
balls deep.
That balls deep. What? That used to be the name of my dodgeball team, but. I were talking about, you know, okay, well, we're gonna buy it, it's gonna be half price, you're gonna pay for it, but only because we do the show. Well, I said, I texted you, I said, I mean, I can find it illegally streamed, and I can hook up my laptop to my TV, and we could do it that way too. And really, that's the way that I'm going. To see it. I mean, I'm not paying a cent for this.
Yeah, and are we even, like you say, is that going to happen? I mean, will we even go through that much effort? I don't know. I mean, it's...
Well, you know, here we are doing
the really funny thing is, I can't even sit there and go, I think it's going to be a shitty card. It's not that I think the card is going to be shitty. I don't think it's going to be shitty. I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be a 6 out of 10 again. Like most WWE pay-per-views, just kind of that middle of the road.
No, 3 out of 10.
No, I think... No, but here's the... I don't think the action will be shitty. But feeling like it matters, feeling like it's going to have an impact on what happens going forward, feeling like the company's going to gain some momentum out of it, feeling like anything that they do is going in the right direction, that's not happening. So who gives a fuck?
Here's what we know. We're going to have a shitty Raw Money in the Bank ladder match. It's going to be shitty. No, there's going to be – you talk about action. Action with the Big Show and Kane and ladders. No, that doesn't exist. It's an oxymoron. Then you move over to Broad Kick and the fucking Alberto Del Rio, which they're just going to ply their trade in 1980s big men match, and it's going to suck shit. Then you're going to move over to the SmackDown Money in the Bank, where you're going to have some high-flying and you're going to have some flippity-doos and stuff. But we went through on last show that there really are only two people that could possibly win this match in Ziggler and Cody, or really should be winning this match in Ziggler and Cody. And then you've got the who gives a fuck about AJ thing. As I said, Gortz has fucked that up, where you may have a little bit of neat little in-ring action. The focus is going to be on AJ, and it's going to take away from whatever positive in-ring action that there can be. So the fact is that there is no positive. We're looking at – I'm going to give it 3 out of 10 right now based on a SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match.
You know what? You made a pretty damn good – a pretty good argument there.
And that was our post show.
Yeah, basically, yeah. All right, let's go through this shit. And we'll get some more talking a little bit about it. The show opens up with AJ came out basically – said she could decide the fate of the WWE title, cutting a promo. I think this went 7 hours. And then CM Punk came out.
Yes.
Actually, I think that was at the 7-minute mark. But, hey, I mean, and that's including the opening, but it felt longer. He comes out. You know, she loves him. Daniel Bryan comes out. She proposed to CM Punk. Crowd popped for that. So I can't say it's a total fail. And then Daniel Bryan came out, and he entertained me. He's funny as hell. That's what I got out of this segment. What do you get out of it?
You know, AJ started talking. I stopped paying attention. She got down. She did the whole knee thing, which, again, we talk about AJ in little moments, in you know, who you talking to on the phone moments, you know, those sorts of things. And in little moments, she did good. And in this little moment where she, you know, she said, I knew what I had to do, and she got down onto her knee to propose, that was her little moment there. And then, yeah, Daniel Bryan come out, you know, is whatever, yeah, love me. But again, Daniel Bryan, entertaining or not, the whole premise of this thing is that, again, we're talking about Daniel Bryan, and I keep going back to the fact this is Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, and it's Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk sports entertainment.
No, it really isn't.
Which isn't good.
It really isn't good. The world title doesn't matter, and they've made it not matter, and that was the whole point. It's a fail.
Yeah. And this is, of the two belts,
yeah,
the one
that
means more.
The most prestigious belt, right?
Well, but and in reality, I mean, this
it
one
does,
still
yeah,
means more. And that's the sad part.
Yeah, so this then what's his name? The anonymous GM comes out. Now, this segment ran long. A lot of people are blaming AJ for her constant pauses and taking so long to do her stuff, and then they had to make up for the rest of the show. I think this segment ran long because when they introduced the computer anonymous GM, it took Michael Cole about 3 days to take the curtain or whatever you would call it that was hiding it off that. And he just kept on pulling at it, trying to get it off, and it was huge. And he couldn't it just slowed the show down.
I don't want to say it took a long time, but
yeah,
Greg Valentine
was unbelievable.
Is warmed up now.
So, the anonymous GM is back. No. And, anything else to say about that? That now that we're done that first part?
No. Well, there's your first segment, and then the anonymous GM was back and made that tag team match. And then AJ said that whatever, she was going to leave
with
her husband.
Leave the Yeah, and Punk and AJ versus Brian and Eve Torres is the match the GM made.
Yeah.
If I can have your attention, please. Right. And I quote, that sucked. Sheamus beat Jack Swagger in a five-star classic. Zack Ryder is backstage talking that this is Friday night Santino says he's going to figure out the identity of the anonymous GM. Because we want to wrap that storyline up because it's barely been on people's minds the last year when we ever mentioned it.
Right. And see, and here, and just not to get out, not that I got my hopes up, but to me, already hearing on Twitter earlier in the day that Bob Backlund was there, I mean, that's a perfect anonymous Raw general manager.
Yeah,
right,
and actually, storyline-wise, it really makes sense because the guy, the anonymous GM, said he doesn't like Bret Hart and all this different stuff, right? You can actually probably... What's that?
Well, and he flip-flopped like he was psycho. It made sense.
Of course, they didn't go that direction because it made sense. But Santino basically all night was doing this Sherlock Holmes thing. Here's the thing about this. Santino, if you have something that's not written for comedy, he has good comedic timing and presence and can add a little comedy to something not written for comedy. But when you have something that's written for comedy and is not funny, he can't elevate it. He's not that good.
Well, no, I don't know that anybody's that good for these
fucking
people.
There's so much shitty comedy on this show, all centered around him. He had go heat by the end.
But you're right. So Santino is the guy that, you know, sana magan, or you know, he just in the middle of the ring or something will happen, or he'll make this one little, like you said, ad-libbed quick line that'll be funny. But when a skit is written for him, it's death.
They announced The Rock and Mick Foley will be on the 1000th Raw. All right.
Yeah. No,
Tensai and Dolph Ziggler beat Christian and Tyson Kidd in a 5-star classic. Which match was on longer, this or the no matches were on, and I don't even know what the shortest match of the night was. Like, yeah.
But they were all shitty, and that was the thing, is that, like, you had this stupid tag. Well, the shortest match was probably the Ziggler or the Swagger.
I don't know. Brodus Clay beat Drew McIntyre in 13 seconds, I think it was. I think he could have asked for 5. Yeah. I think that was... That was a short match to reference WrestleMania 1. Yeah.
Yeah. The man that demands the 5. But, I mean, again, as a tag, okay, it's 4 guys that are in the money in the bank, and they just went on, and
Tensai Ziggler versus Christian and Tyson Kidd. You're talking the one later. But let's...
No, I'm talking this one, the guys in the Money in the Bank. Tensai,
it went on
Christian,
forever. You're right.
Kidd,
I think it lasted 90
Ziggler.
Seconds, which was, it did seem like too long. It's like, at this point, like the first, I don't know, 90 minutes of this show, it's like.
Is that what it did? It lasted 90
it was,
seconds?
Yeah, I really think the first 90 minutes of the show, I had about 2 minutes of wrestling action. And then it had like a half hour main event that wasn't very good. But again, okay, so Michael Cole accidentally spills water on Lawler.
And then the general manager, general manager comes up and he's, and something happened. I don't know. He made some sort of thing happen for a match later. And then afterwards he said that Cole was going to fight Lawler. Again. Fuck. Fuck you. Like, Colgan, like, fuck, they just, I mean, and again, and he managed to, even the general manager said it was from my time as general manager, which was, what, 2010? Like, it was that WrestleMania. Was it not two, like, 3 WrestleManias ago? There's been 2 WrestleManias since that. There's been 2, because there's been 2 Triple H Undertakers, hasn't there? And I thought that, it's been 1 WrestleMania since. So it's been a year and a half, but I mean, again, it just goes back to fucking, and Cole's got to be that annoying cocksucking.
Well, here's the thing: it's like Cole is toned down. We need to do something to get some ratings or something. Hey, John Cena, Michael Cole, Cole's turned, and you know, then Cena beats him up, and he gets all grating, and Cena beats him up, and then he's toned down. Hey, we need to do something to get a rating. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, and now he'll be turned down until the next time they all of a sudden need a whole Cole to actually get some heat for them, because nobody on the roster is capable of getting heat, yeah. Because nobody's taken seriously. Michael Cole at least is annoying.
Well, but again, it's
but here's later, the thing. Yeah, they did a whole about do you want to see this match? Then when they actually had the match, there was no wrestling holds.
They
it was just an airplane spin and a pin. If you're gonna have Michael Cole in there, at least have him beat the shit out of him like Cena did.
Well, but not even. Just the fact that I was looking at the fact that it was we get it on a 15-minute delay, and so it comes on at 7:15 instead of say 7 o'clock or 9:15 on the East Coast instead of 9 o'clock here up in Canada, and it was like 9:05. When this match was going on, and they still had a main event, so I was like, "What the fuck?" And so they did this stupid piece of shit, and it was like all night. Then they had to go. Nobody wants to see that. Blah blah blah. And they did the fight, and they had to talk about it all night. And it was like, I don't give a fuck. Like I voted no. Like. Jesus Christ, like, it was just like, oh my God, I didn't vote, but had I voted, I would have voted no, but, I mean, it just fucking stupid.
Well,
next.
Chris Jericho and backstage with Big Show said that they should, it was like when they were Jericho Show and Listen to Me Show, and Show said that when he was with the tag team champion with Jericho Show with John, or with Chris Jericho, that was some of the most embarrassing times of his life. And I'm looking back on it, and it was like Jericho versus DX, and it was more of a serious Jericho. And I don't remember Big Show being consistently embarrassed in that whole run. Do you?
Well, that was Jericho was being embarrassed, because that was around the time ever that Jericho was had to leave Raw 75
times. Was it? I thought that was after that.
And then he had the campaign outside with the megaphone or sign the petition or all this stuff. I mean, I don't think it was the most. I mean, I look at Big Show was in a fucking diaper. He dressed like Hulk Hogan. He was Conan. I mean, when you talk about the most embarrassing shit, I mean, that's hardly it. But I mean, but the point of it was that Big Show is this tough guy loner. And so, I mean, from that perspective, okay. If I gave a shit about Big Show, that's fine, but he's a big tough guy.
So then that got to the match that went 4 hours.
Oh fuck! It was like eight commercial breaks.
Yeah, and it was boring. Which is, I mean, I don't mind if it's long if it's good. It wasn't good. It was Cena and Kane versus Big Show and Jericho.
That's what your mom said.
And Cena cut a promo like you say beforehand, saying that he guarantees he can beat the Show and beat Big Show and will win Money in the Bank. Basically, the story of this, though, is at the end, his Show turned on his tag team partner. He beat everybody up. He was unstoppable until Cena grabbed a ladder, and that was the great equalizer when he hit him with that and was able to get him out of there. But Show dominated everybody, including like I say, Chris Jericho in a real heel babyface spot. I thought this did the right thing. The match sucked because it went on forever and it was boring. But as far as needing to do the right thing for the pay-per-view, I thought it did the right thing.
What? How did it do the? You know what I just watched? I just watched the four guys wrestle a half-hour shitty fucking match, and so now they're gonna have another fucking half hour. So this was to promote these same four guys having a half-hour shitty fucking match that I'm supposed to pay for because there's a fucking ladder involved. I was looking at this, and when it went to the first commercial break, I was like, okay. Then it went to another commercial break. I'm like, are you fucking
kidding?
But
I'm talking the story of the Big Show was unbeatable. The other three are gonna have to team up and use ladders to beat him. He's the favorite, and everybody else, including John Cena, is the underdog. The post-match angle, that did the right thing.
Okay, here's the thing about the post-match. Here's the post-match angle. If there's a post-match angle and everybody's asleep to see it, does it make a sound? I think I was switched over my egg there, jogging. Oh, he's making a comeback. I'm like, really? John Cena's making a comeback? Holy fuck, who would have thought? Really, it was just Big Show's a fucking big guy, and Jericho's an annoying guy. Kane's just there, and John Cena's fucking Superman. Guess what? It's 2009. I got that already. All right,
so it didn't work for you.
Fuck no. That was a fucking word. That turned the show, like, right down the fucking toilet to me. This show had sucked, but that was the icing on the cake.
Eve told Punk that he's constantly overshadowed during his title run by The Rock, Triple H, Big Show, Brock Lesnar, and now AJ, and that is emasculating?
Yeah. Perfect. Let's point that out.
And then Santino thought Great Khali was the GM, because Khali picked up a phone that was apparently the anonymous GM's, and then Khali acted like he'd never seen a cell phone before, because they don't have such technology in India. It wasn't funny.
What did CM Punk look like? What does CM Punk look like carrying groceries, though? Why don't we get at
good
that?
Good point. Sin Cara beat Heath Slater to earn a Money in the Bank spot, so that's brand new. Sin Cara added. Hopefully he can have some good spots.
In one take.
Good point. Not three like they had it here. Remember, that wasn't actually Sin Cara. That was Sunico that had that three takes with them here.
So. Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right. Wow, who just saw that coming? Heath Slater didn't get the Money in the Bank? Really?
Mystico in there. Sin Cara in there. That's a good thing. I'm into that. I like that idea.
Sure, someone can throw... Tenzai can throw him through a ladder because he's popped for steroids again.
Yeah. Actually, that did happen before. Was that in last year's Money in the Bank?
I forgot all about that year. Sheamus threw Sin Cara through the ladder there because he was
he's a rogue freak. And I can tell looking at him.
But the highlight of the show was Heath Slater challenged anybody, any former champion.
I do not remember Bob Backlund having music.
Oh yeah, well that was when he was running for president. That was when Mr. Bob Backlund was running for president. That's their president of the USA music.
This was awful.
Yeah. Well, but the funny thing was Bob, it wasn't Mr.
No, Bob
Backlund.
It was the 1970s, Bob Backlund.
It wasn't, yes, what the fucking, because he come out smiling and looking around.
Bob Backlund, I couldn't stand. I never liked that Bob Backlund. I enjoyed the Mr. Backlund heel character. But that Bob Backlund, that 1970s white meat baby face, he always annoyed the shit out of me, that prancing thing that he did on his, whatever. But the guy's in great shape.
But then,
yeah, before he rustled,
still got it, Chan.
When he was doing his warm ups,
I know that's awesome. Yeah,
12 people recognized him and they thought he still had it.
That one guy in the front row did. He's like, yeah, but then he just got punched in the stomach, kind of sold it.
That's what you
want to
do. You know what? Nobody, Heath Slater can't beat anybody. And from here, we're going to take him how seriously, and then he's got to face. The thing is, he's not going away. If after all this, the whole point was to release Heath Slater because he's ruined, that'd be great. I'd have no problem with that. But they're not going to release him. They're probably going to try and put him in some sort of feud afterwards with, like, Santino or something for the U.S. belt. We'll have you job out to a bunch of people, average of about 2,000.
Hey.
And then he beat Doink. And then we're going to, pay you back for doing this by having you face Santino for, on a YouTube match. What's the YouTube match for this Money in the Bank, too? It was something weird.
Oh, isn't it? It's Hunico and Camacho against the tag
Kingston
champions.
And Truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Primetime players.
So it's not the primetime players.
It's what the fuck? Hey, it's jobbers.
Yeah, and that takes away.
It's jobbers.
Hmm?
Well, then you had the Michael Cole, who was the anonymous GM, made Michael Cole Russell Lawler. So he was a bad guy, then a good guy, then he's a bad guy again here because Cole tried to leave Booker T threw him in the ring, and that was a DQ or reverse the decision, whatever. The point being that Big Show's match, he broke up a pin, and that was a cause for disqualification. And here, somebody was thrown back in a ring, and that was a cause for disqualification. Historically, none of this stuff has ever been cause for disqualification. But in this one night, if you did anything illegal, it was cause for disqualification, so it was consistent.
Yes, yes. Is that the word we're using? Consistent? Well, then the fucking general manager Santino fucking comes on. The fucking anonymous general manager is fucking Hornswoggle.
Yeah, I never got the feeling that meant the Hornswoggle was it the whole time. I thought it just meant it was him tonight, but who gives a shit anyways?
No, I'm pretty sure they were saying, you know, it was me, Austin, it was me all along. So, yeah, that's fucking bullshit. And, I mean, not that it matters, but it's like, it's fucking Hornswoggle, and the fact that Hornswoggle is on my television, it means that
Hornswoggle's not trying shit anymore, neither are so they. He's not dyeing his hair, he's not dressing like anything. He's just in green, he's just fat. You don't see him very often. He's getting fatter every single day. His hair's, brown, and he wears green sweatpants in order to prove that he's a leprechaun. He's looking like little Mick Foley more every single day, but fatter.
Yeah, he's Midget Foley or something. I don't know. They actually already had a mini
Yeah,
I think
he came from Mexico or something.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, there you go. From Ireland.
There you go.
See? So, but I think that it's, I don't know, to me it's just stupid. It's all stupid, and, I mean, the fact is that it doesn't really matter who the anonymous raw general manager fucking is or was or was.
Well, nobody cares.
Hornswoggle was on my goddamn.
Because, I mean, they dropped that story a long time ago, and they dropped it without ever promising to pay it off. And it just was gone one day, you know? They just moved on. So did I.
Yeah. I mean, I moved on too, but the fact is, if you're going to bring it back and you say there's just, and you want to just, you know, I don't know, and then all of a sudden there's fucking Hornswoggle on my TV. And I mean, as soon as you said he's under the ring, I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Click. Unfortunately, you probably didn't click because you watched AJ and CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan and Eve Torres. Basically, the storyline here was that Daniel Bryan wouldn't tag Eve Torres to get in the ring, causing AJ to pin her. AJ is strange because she acts like a heel. Everything she does acts like a heel, but they book her and treat her like a babyface.
It's not even like babies. Just they're going to give her wins. They want to keep her strong.
They book her and talk about her like a baby face, like Michael Cole doing that heel promo on her and putting her against Vicky. They book her and treat her like a baby face, but she acts like a heel in everything she does. She closed the show by Punk said he won't marry her, so she slapped him, and then she slapped Brian. After Brian said, come home to me. Because Brian had also proposed to her earlier. Because, he didn't want to lose the chance for his title. So, then she says yes a whole bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, to completely fucking bastardize and emasculate that fucking chant. Because Daniel Bryan actually did something to get over. And now they have to make it seem like, no, this is the WWE that's got this fucking shit over. And everybody from fucking Sheamus to fucking John Cena.
Lawler did it earlier.
Now, everybody.
Lawler talking about his match against Cole.
It's it's just now that's done. And. Sorry, thanks for coming out, Daniel Bryan. Thanks for your $1 million.
Yeah,
it's over. No, they can't, and it's done.
So, So, what do you think of it? Good?
That was the best Raw I've seen in ages. Fuck, was that a piece of shit? Like, as I said, I mean, with Bob Backlund is your, and when 1978 Bob Backlund is the best thing on the fucking show, that you got fucking problems. And the comedy's not funny. The comedy's useless.
TNA's doing really good, how great Impact has been. There hasn't been a single piece of comedy on that show in I don't know how many weeks.
Impact, though, as much as there's the Claire Lynch's of everything but the fact is that things are treated like a competition. It's still wrestling.
And comedy does have its place,
fake.
But
it's still
you know, it's almost like TNA's going, we have a comedy character in ODB and in Eric Young, and they're the women's tag team championship. So we don't know what to do with that, because comedy does have its place, but we don't know how to use it. So rather than use it and use it poorly, we're just going to remove it and eliminate it and not go with it, because we don't want to ruin the momentum of what we're doing good. Whereas WWE sits there, keeps on going, hey guys, we got to entertain. And in trying so hard to be entertaining, they lose the core of what their product is supposed to be. And all of a sudden, it's not entertaining.
Well, no, that's right. And, I mean, these are night and day type feels to the show now. And I mean, really what I'm looking at is I'm actually kind of sitting there thinking that, and I know that I was talking to you about Kevin Nash doing a 1995 WWF timeline. But that's exactly where we are right now. Is we're in 1995. It's, you know, like you've got your Santinos and your Heath Slaters and your AJs or your fucking TL Hoppers and your Who's and your fucking just shit from a bygone era that means nothing. Yeah, and now Impact to me has really been feeling it like early Nitro.
Yeah, absolutely, it has been, and in a good way. In fact, not only I'll say this, over the last 2 months as I've watched Impact, I think it's better than Raw has been over the last 8 years.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I just look, because this is what, I mean, the reason it's to me is early Nitro, that kind of late 95. Yeah, Nitro, is because there wasn't one good angle on, really on Nitro until the NWO. You know, so it took that year for them to have that really good angle. But what it did have was a different feel, a different look, different guys. When you had the cruiserweights and it's a whole bunch of these new guys coming in, and you still had your Hogans, and I mean, you still like your Claire Lynch there would be like your Dungeon of Doom, your Yeti, fucking Hogan up the ass kind of thing, right? And the Cobo Hall and all that shit. And I mean, so. You know, you still had that, but it had a different feel to it, even though there wasn't this one, you know, Austin McMahon or NWO or anything that you could point at to do it. But it was something where neither Raw didn't have that either. So nobody had anything, but they had a better feel to it. And that's what we've got right now. Nobody's got really that one thing, but Impact has got a better
absolutely
feel
does.
To it.
Absolutely does. And I'm going to go over SmackDown spoilers real quickly here, because they were taped almost immediately after. And I said to you, maybe that's why Raw was sucked, because they had to do two shows because of some fires or something like that. They had to cancel the SmackDown's tapings, and they ended up doing both shows in the same night. I can only imagine not everybody stuck around, especially since it was in Denver, which means it was already a late start, because it wasn't actually, I guess it wasn't that late. It's not that late in Denver, but no.
No.
Same time as us. So it would have been, probably would have gone until about midnight or a little past. But SmackDown, Zack Ryder comes out. Yeah, it would have ended about midnight, right?
No, yeah, actually, it would have ended about 11,
yeah.
11, 11, 15.
So anyway, Zack Ryder came out for Friday night, Zackdown, which, by the way, sucked. Just that name. Don't like it. But whatever. I tried to get everyone to fist pump. Alberto Del Rio comes out. Del Rio makes fun of Ryder. Ryder announced Del Rio would face Sin Cara, and then Alberto Del Rio beat Sin Cara with the armbar. I don't know how long it went or anything like that. Thoughts?
Who gives a fuck? Zack down again, okay, fine. He's just that goofy, out there kind of guy. So I understand him making that Zack down. Fine, I expect it. Well, he said it on Raw. He's like, fine. But didn't, what's his name, Del Rio, didn't he beat
No, they never had a match.
Week?
He attacked him right before the match and threw him outside the ring and put the armbar on him.
Okay. Right, okay. So this time they had a match and he put the armbar
on
him.
And you know what? And, Sin Cara was fine next this week in order to qualify by beating Heath Slater, and he'll be fine on Monday for Money in the Bank, because no moves or anything that you do, no attacks, nothing lasts longer than a week when a guy might hold his ribs like going, oh man, that hurt what happened to me last week. Nothing is sold for more than 1 week in WWE anymore, which is another reason WWE sucks balls. That's not just John Cena. That's everybody. John Cena is not even going to sell it that long.
I didn't need the spoilers for that because the Mexican one.
Big Show then, Zack Ryder has been general manager now for about 20 minutes, and Big Show told him he's doing a bad job.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ryder then decided to pay back Big Show by booking him in a match against the Great Khali.
Right, right. Well, didn't Khali shoot on Big Show like 5 years ago?
Back in the locker room? I don't think so, did he?
Yeah, they had a real fight. Like, I think it must have been like, it was like 5 years ago probably now. They had a real fight and Khali got the better of them.
You're bullshitting me. Yeah, in the back, yeah.
No, I'm absolutely being serious.
I buy that.
No, this look it up. There was a legit fight between Khali and the Big Show backstage. I don't know. Like I said, it was probably about
really?
5 years ago now.
That doesn't bode very well for Big Show, honestly, losing to that guy.
Well, no, but anyway, so then the Big Show beat the fucking Khali and
well, I'm too busy. I can't get it yet. Yeah. Well,
I know. I can hear you typing.
You know. There you go. What do I call it? Real life heat, top five legit backstage fights. Winner, the Great Khali. Anyways, I'm just gonna skim this. Meanwhile, why don't you bitch about what was next? I'm sure it's something you can bitch about. Primo beat Darren Young. Go.
Yeah. Okay. So then. So they couldn't have a tag team match for some reason. They had to have a singles match where, I mean, maybe the tag match, maybe this is to announce that the tag match is going to happen at the pay-per-view. Maybe it's a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I don't know why you don't put the fucking tag titles on the fucking pay-per-view and then have this as your pre-show match. But that it wouldn't surprise me that that's putting this on the putting this match, the Primo Epico, on the pay-per-view against the primetime players. So Primo wins here so that the primetime players can win on pay-per-view. And you know, 50-50 in the world just keeps
spinning.
Okay,
so the source of this PW Insider. It appears that Khali's a legit 1 to 2 inches taller than Big Show. But, of course, the show is heavier. SmackDown house show in Puerto Rico. Heated argument between the two big men escalating into a fist fight. Big Show threw the first punch, which Khali was able to block. Holy fuck. After Show slipped on a bag, Khali was able to mount him and slap him multiple times. And a bunch of wrestlers had to come in to break this up. Fuck, I wish I could have seen that.
No doubt. When was that?
2009, Puerto Rico, 3 years ago. That is fantastic. How did that possibly escape me? Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler beat Santino Marella and Christian. Ziggler pinned Marella.
Next.
You don't care? Oh, wait, Sheamus is backstage talking with Ryder. Nope. Jericho interrupted. Jericho said he didn't come to fight, so Ryder made Sheamus vs. Jericho for the main event. Yeah. Excited? Mm-hmm. Big Show beat Khali with the knockout punch. Apparently he didn't slip in a bag. Here's a good one. Ryback beat Tyler Rex. Remember when Tyler Rex was being billed as remember when he was first brought in? And nobody knew who he was, and they put him on that team SmackDown, and then decided that nobody knew who he was, so they took him off the pay-per-view like 24 hours before it happened.
Yes, yes. Well, that was his second return, because the first time he come in as a surfer guy that in ECW, and then he freaked some people out by like saying a plane was going to, you know, this plane is going to crash or something. It got removed from a plane and got sent home. And then he come back like after like, I don't know, like 9 months or 10 months with this, you know, this scary Rex is going to kill you videos.
Yeah,
that
basically he had almost like a caveman look. Big dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a big push. Big guy, you know, very, you know, the type of physique and look that Vince likes, and now he's jobbing to, Ryback. So my point of all this is because he's about 6'5", 245 pounds. I'm looking forward to in a couple of years when Ryback is jobbing to whoever the next big guy is.
Well, he didn't get a big push. I wouldn't say that.
They put him on that team that he was about to, and then they went, hold on. Nobody reacted to him when he came out on Raw. Well, of course they hadn't. He'd been on SmackDown once.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he didn't get it. So, I mean, it's... But, I mean, the thing was, is, yeah, I mean, but he beat Hawkins last week, or on Raw, or whether it was... No, it was on the live SmackDown. He beat Hawkins, so now he had to beat Rex. So,
yeah, it
there
sucks.
You go.
Go away, Ryback.
Yes. Anything?
Damian Sandow beat Justin Gabriel. Also not the main event. I like Damian Sandow. I enjoy his act. I enjoy the character and everything about him. So, Sheamus beat Chris Jericho. And after the match, Del Rio attacked Sheamus and put him in the arm bar and left him laying. So I imagine that Sheamus will be selling that on Sunday. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So this also sounds shitty.
Yeah, well, again, this just sounds like... it doesn't sound as shitty, but it no, exactly, because... But it sounds like, again, you're spinning your wheels, nothing's going on, fucking, you know, bullshit show. I mean, I don't know what I said. I mean, you got... And they're going to add an extra hour to this bullshit. It's, I mean, so that's the problem. I mean, reading the SmackDown spoilers didn't really aggravate me. It was like Raw, watching Raw was like, that is the biggest hunk of shit I've ever seen in my life. But I read the SmackDown spoilers and I immediately took it off my PVR. I was like, oh, I don't need to see that. I'm not even going to waste my time deleting it on Friday. I'm going to just delete it.
I gotcha.
Now. Like, I no longer... I canceled SmackDown as, like, a series recording because I just don't care anymore. I mean, I started when Daniel Bryan was going gangbusters there, and I thought, okay, I'm going to start watching this again. And I started watching it, but now Daniel Bryan, all his good stuff, basically anything good or bad is going to be on Raw outside of, say, Damian Sandow. And maybe the primetime players. So, I mean, I might add it back on, just be able to watch those, like, bits. But, I mean, I can do that online, so who cares?
Yeah. So, do you have anything? I think you said to me you had something you wanted to announce regarding Raw.
Well, what I figure is after watching Raw, I'm going to, as I said, I've canceled SmackDown as my series recording. And so I no longer watch SmackDown on a regular basis because I just don't see the point. I'm going to give them I say we may just change this show to We Talk TNA or We Talk Impact because I'm going to give the month of July here for Raw. I mean, Raw 1000, I'm sure I will enjoy because I enjoyed that nostalgia, and I will. And the one thing I like about this, the nostalgia part of it, is that the people that they've been bringing in, you know, other than Piper, but I mean, and Foley, I guess, but, you know, the, like the Wendy Richter and the Sid and the Vader and the Bob Backlund, these aren't your Sergeant Slaughter and Hacksaw Duggan and Ted DiBiase and Million Dollar and American Dream guys. That
yeah,
they
that's
always
true. That's
bring
part of what's
back,
cool about
right?
it.
So I mean, I look forward to maybe seeing if you know when you talk about Steve Blackman, was he going to light anybody on fire? No, but I mean, are there more out there? I mean, is this a New Age Outlaws that we see for the first time in how long? Right? I mean, you've already got the Road Dogg there, so I mean, can we see that? Yeah, maybe, and then so that might give a little bit of you know, it's not it's nostalgia, but it's different. It's new nostalgia kind of thing. It's not the same old, same old. Is at least what they look like they're doing. So that's you know that'll be good. So I have no doubt that and I mean Brock Lesnar will be on with Heyman for the Raw 1000. So I mean there'll be and The Rock. I mean for fuck's sake. So I mean there'll be things that I enjoy on that show. So I've given them the whole month of July because I'm going to give them their first real 3-hour show to fucking like. Wow me, because, you know, like...
There's no reason to think the product would be better at 3 hours than it is now. And it's hard to believe it could be worse, but... It might be. It's possible. Because it's certainly not going to be better.
If it... I, But it better be better, because if it's the exact same fucking load of horse shit that I just watched on Monday, that's what I'm giving them till the end of July, because at July 30th, Raw 1001 is the load of stinking, steamy horse shit that I just watched yesterday. I'm done. I'll watch Impact, and that's it.
Nice. Now, you realize it's not going to get better, though. I mean, I've come to this. I've been here with Raw and WWE many times, and here's how it goes. I'm just telling you. What you'll get is you'll get something that it's shit. Then a CM Punk will cut a great promo. You'll be interested for a little while. It'll peter off. It'll be shit. Then you'll get near Royal Rumble. You get near Royal Rumble, they seem to have a focus again. You get a little interest in the Royal Rumble. Then after Royal Rumble, you get to the WrestleMania and the season and the build for that. And then after WrestleMania, it slowly goes down, and it's shit. Somebody will do something sort of interesting. You know, like I say, you'll have a good 6 weeks, 4 weeks again, and then until Royal Rumble. This is the pattern, and this is the best that you're going to get. And this is what Raw and WWE is and is going to continue to be. And this is because the system, as we say, is broken. The way they do things is broken. It can't be better than this, and it can't be consistently good. So really what you get is 52 weeks where you have 3 months maybe where it's generally pretty good, and in between about 5 or 6 shows that are good. So maybe you have 18 right. shows a year, which are good, and 34 shows a year, which are shitty. And that's just on Raw, and then it's about similar on SmackDown. And that's what it's going to be. That's what it's been for years. That's what it's going to continue to be. Nothing's going to change on that.
No, that's fine, and I don't give a fuck. I mean, I just won't watch. That's 3 extra hours of my week that I can be doing something more productive than watching Vince McMahon. And you're right. I mean, it'll be January where we'll all tune in for the Royal Rumble, and then that road to WrestleMania will like you said, they'll have a focus and a build, and if the build is good. I mean, again, it's going to involve The Rock again. So I mean, that's going to be good. So I'll tune in, and like I said, I'll watch for that. But I mean, if there's nothing, I mean, we were at this point last year, and then Punk cut that promo, you know, without Punk cutting that promo, it's like we were talking, you know, we're going to go to SmackDown in August of that year, and we're like, sure. Maybe, you know, yeah, and then we bought tickets, and so I mean, there's something is ultimately
and something will
possible
and something will happen
to,
that'll
to
make
happen.
You excited again. Whether it's that CM Punk or whether it's Nexus tearing the stage up, that got you excited too. But the point is, and it might be good for a few weeks, but it's not going to have a long term payoff. It's not going to mean anything. Maybe what you're going to get is 4 to 6 weeks of entertainment in between the season where there's about 3 months where they're actually focused and generally good on TV. And that's what you're going to get every single year.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, again, it's
I mean,
just
right
a matter
now, there,
of...
while I have no interest in Money in the Bank, I get the feeling there'll be enough going on for SummerSlam that I'll have some interest. I'll be interested. I mean, I will be interested in Triple H versus Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. And I don't think they'll fuck that up, because Triple H on his own programs didn't fuck up, with the Undertaker. And I don't think they're going to fuck this up. The only thing that will fuck this up is if Triple H wins, and that could happen. But Heyman will be good. Lesnar will be good. There's a chance, I think, Lesnar destroys Shawn Michaels and Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night, as we talked about. That'll be very good. So there will be this thing coming up right after Money in the Bank that it probably will have some interest in.
Yeah, and that, like I said, I mean, and that may do it. I'm just saying that to me that has to happen by July 30th. I don't mean that they have to drop the bomb. They don't have to have the CM Punk Nexus angle. They're not going to have the CM Punk Nexus angle on July 30th, but they just have to do enough to get me to watch. And as I said, and if what I basically am telling is the next time I feel like I did yesterday, that's the last time for Raw until, like I said, I mean,
well,
until
I mean,
the Mania
I'll say
build
this. I wasn't watching Raw,
and
you told me the Nexus thing. And I was even then I was skeptical. I was like, yeah, you're like, look, you just got to watch this. I came home, I watched it on YouTube. Then I watched the next week. And I kept going like this. And so the same thing, I wasn't really watching, even though we were recording the show. I was reading, I was talking about what was going on. I was following the product, but I wasn't watching the TV regularly. He told me, okay, Rock is back. You've got to watch this. I watched this, right? It happens all the time that it's like, okay, I think it's fine to still follow the product and go, it's not really good enough to watch on TV, but I'll follow waiting for that thing which I actually would be interested in. And that's fine. You just go, okay, now it's something I'm interested in again. Meanwhile, I'll just keep going. And at least every week right now, Impact for me is must-watch TV. I have the countdown going every week going, I can't wait for this next. I mean, Austin Aries, first night with the title. I can't wait for Impact here in a couple days.
Well, let's get to that. I mean, I do want to say one quick thing just to leave Raw behind is that at the time right before Punk cut that promo, though, is that there was absolutely nothing going on in the whole landscape.
And that's the difference. Last year, and when we took a break from doing the show, there wasn't an Impact that was really, really good. And, you know, there wasn't before CM Punk cut that. And that came out of nowhere. I did not know that was coming. Nobody did, right?
No, exactly. And that was just – but, I mean, now there is an Impact. So there's a difference is that there is something – again, this is just like me going instead of watching Raw, watch Nitro. And that's just – I mean, that to me is it. So there's something there in wrestling isn't dead. It's just WWE is dead. And so it's – with I'll just continue to watch Impact. Now, switching gears over to Impact while we're talking about how we'll watch – Impact is Thursday with great anticipation. Some people that may not get to watch it are those who are members of the DirecTV
family. Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean,
and that's going down to the wire just really as we talk about this, that I guess DirecTV, which is what, about 15% of the homes in the States?
I think so,
And there's a bunch of channels, like Spike TV is one of them, but also, I mean, MTV, MTV2, BET, and a bunch of others that are,
Viacom stations, the CBS Viacom stations. I think that the thing that WWE used to be affiliated with, and they were on Spike, and then Heat was on MTV and things like that. So but those can affect, Impact. And I know that they were, I think Jeremy Borash had a show, a video podcast type show where he on his TNA Today, him and Dixie were telling people how they could call DirecTV to sort of voice their concern on it, almost
truthfully, like people will find a way if they're interested in the product. I mean, it hurts a little bit, but I believe TNA makes actually I think Impact available on YouTube already within like 24 hours. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, and they're. I mean, this is coming right off the heels of 3 hours that they've been granted. They've been Impact
now. That's
is getting
not
an extra
the same
hour.
As what Raw's doing, though. That's important.
No, it isn't. It's called Impact Rewind, TNA Rewind, and basically what it's going to be is just similar to they had that I forget what it was called, Aftermath or. I forget what it was called. It was a post show though. That
post show, and you remember that TNA did that post show for a while. I mean, they already were 3 hours, like you say. They did it after Impact. That post show, while it started off with the ratings, and they had some overrun with the main event going into that, and eventually the ratings died and it went down. That post show, I just want to say, was important because much of the style that they do on this current fresh Impact got its test run, so to speak, on what they did there.
Yeah, exactly. They did the and I expect this Rewind to be similar. They said they have a new voiceover guy that's going to be doing the sort of the recaps of the angles.
We
and,
almost
and
get something like that here. It's only about 15 minutes, but we talk about how WWE is on a delay here. We're getting a 15-minute recap before Raw. What do they call it? Again, on the score.
I think they just – what do they call it? Like the Raw Rebound or something? Or I don't even know that they –
yeah, it's
the
Raw Countdown. But actually, that's what it is. It's only 15 minutes. But they give us the highlight of all the stuff. And that's fine. I mean,
But that's a very antiquated version with now, I guess the last few weeks it's been Mauro Ranallo that's been hosting it. But it was normally Greg Sansoni, but Mauro's done it, I think, the last 2 weeks in a row. And, I mean, basically there's a guy just standing there saying, you know what, Christian is fighting with Cody Rhodes. Let's have a look. And then they just show, like, oh, look, let's look what happened last week on Raw. And then they just show the segment. This is going to be a more produced, just I said, a slicker version of it. And, I mean, Dixie made a good, she was talking on that TNA Today show with Borash. That was she was saying, you know, she was, this is, you know, look, we know people, you know, are on summer holidays, people are busy. This is basically, if you've been missing this show, this is going to kind of catch you up and bring you up. But she also said, if you have been missing the show, you know, don't fucking miss this show because it's
awesome. No, I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't think this is, like I say, this is a bad thing, and I don't think that this is going to in any way in any way burn them out like a third hour of Raw is going to do on top of what WWE already does, which is way more, you know, already does SmackDown and everything else. So, I mean, this is fine. This is a good thing for Impact. And again, it shows, and this is the one thing we can always say, even when Impact sucked ass, and it did, I sucked ass. Spike has always been the best partner. I don't think a wrestling promotion has ever had a better television partner than Spike has been to Impact Wrestling and TNA after all this time.
Well, I mean, there's Turner.
Turner opened up pocketbooks too, but yeah, I mean, it was a little different though.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
a little different. The support, I think, is more from Spike. The money was more from Uncle Ted, but I don't know which, quite frankly, you'd rather have.
He owned really both. They weren't really a partner. They're part of the same umbrella, corporate umbrella. That's a different thing.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, but they weren't always. I mean, they back in the day, but you're right in terms of with this type of deal. And Spike is more a partner than a
they really owner, are, yeah.
Obviously. So, I'm just trying to see. So, if there's anything else, a couple of signings on the WWE front. Sarah Del Rey, best I think I mean I at least I know her best from Sweet and Sour Incorporated, from ROH. From when I was watching on the on the HDNet shows, and so she's coming in to the WWE.
Yeah, you know what? I probably know her best from watching that Wrestling Society X on MTV. To be kind, you know, quite honestly, you know, not overly familiar with her, but you say she's coming into WWE. I don't know if she'll ever make the main roster. She's what, 30, 32? Certainly not gorgeous.
No, it's China Junior here.
Yeah, and at least China had more of a unique look. And she's not as, yeah, not, I just, I don't know. Probably be training women's wrestlers in Florida is kind of my guess of what we're going to see from her.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But, I mean, either way, she's on board here. And also, someone that's not going to just be a trainer
Somebody who is. Just to mention that, Sweeney, I do remember Sweeney said that he was grooming her for WWE when he had her. And I remember her saying, I'm a wrestler, not a diva. So I don't know if they're going to.
Right.
Maybe if she does come in, maybe that's what she comes in as. You know, I'm a wrestler, not a diva. And I don't know. She can work. From what I could tell, she could work at least.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, no, it doesn't hurt. I mean, either way, whether she's training people in Florida or she's on the main roster, I mean, it's a positive addition.
And maybe it does show that they're opening their mind up a little bit because we talk about how they're you know, they'd rather have somebody in who can't work at all but looks hot as hell. And, you know.
Yeah, maybe Hunter will just... Maybe
Hunter if she looks like China. Yeah. Mm-hmm. China without the penis.
So. Now, the other signing that they had was Pac.
I've never seen Pac wrestle, but I hear he's awesome. One of the top five high flyers in the world. That said, I think they signed a guy who's one of the top five high flyers in the world in Sin Cara. And how's that going?
Well, that's just it. So we'll see. I mean, this may be another situation, though, where John Laurinaitis gets in hot water because he signs Pac and Hunter told him to sign X-Pac.
He signed the one wrong douchebag wrestler. I don't know that Pac's a douchebag. I don't think he is. I don't know.
I know where you were going with that, but it did get
not
there.
Not even fucking close. But, this is, again, he's billed as the man who defies gravity. And, again, we talked earlier about how there was rumors that they're going to do a Cruiserweight show. Maybe they're going to do it and do it right. And that would be awesome. That's what I'm hoping for. Sin Cara, I still think Sin Cara can get over if they got rid of that shitty lighting. And that's one thing. He's going to be in the Money in the Bank. I'll be curious as to whether or not he gets that shitty lighting.
Well, they didn't do the shitty lighting last.
No, I know, but they'd already given up on it, whereas this time they haven't. It was still here against Heath Slater. So we'll see if they do the shitty lighting on this. Well, that's one other thing I do want to say. You know what's really strange to me about this? We're bashing the shit out of them. Here we are, CM Punk has had the belt, what, like 9 months?
Seven months, they said, Eve said, yeah. But he's been overshadowed.
This is, I believe, the first time ever that he's going to main event a pay-per-view in this title run. And in reality, he's not main eventing the pay-per-view. AJ is.
Well, and that's, you assume, if he's main eventing.
I think he will. I think this closes the show this time. I think it's the first time he closes the show. And like I say, it's not because he's closing the show. It's because AJ is. Because AJ is, in their mind, the second biggest star in the company.
Is it or did he, remember John Cena sat out that December pay-per-view? The TLC? Cena wasn't on that show. And I don't remember who Punk fought, probably Del Rio.
That was the same one
that had the Nash. It was the one that had the Nash Hunter ladder match.
I'm just looking it up. Tables, ladders, and chairs.
Maybe that ended
2011. The show. Hold on, I'm looking it up. Because I'm curious. Anyways, meanwhile, you had another person who was hired besides Pac. Talking about Finley. People are coming in to train, or maybe train the Divas.
Yeah, no shit, eh? And
correct. Yeah, CM Punk defeated the champ, defeated the Miz and Alberto Del Rio.
There you go.
Wow. that was the night that Daniel Bryan won the title.
Right. Oh, yes, that's right. Now, did
that was December.
And then the Raw
so,
Elimination
yeah, I mean, December,
Chamber.
How many months ago is it? So that was like 8 months ago almost. It'll be 8 months next week since he last main evented.
8 months, yeah. Okay, but they said that he'd had the title for... Yeah, maybe he's had the title
had
for 9 months
because,
I thought he said seven.
Yeah, he must have... He won it the month before, didn't he?
Maybe. Or the...
When
it's
Survivor Series?
Before.
Hold
I
on.
Say in October. I thought it was late October that he won at the, what was it? I thought he won at Hell in a Cell. Because when...
CM Punk defeated Alberto Del Rio by submission to win the title at Survivor Series. Okay, so that was...
okay. There you go.
Yeah.
November
20th. So... We'll be closing in on 9 months here.
There you go, okay.
In 10 days, we're in 9 months.
Right, okay. So, I mean, and then he did that. Did the Raw Elimination Chamber close that pay-per-view?
No, it didn't. That was would have been The Rock's first match. Close that one. The Rock and Cena versus Awesome Truth.
No, you're talking, that's Survivor Series, in the Elimination Chamber in February. Did the Raw Elimination Chamber close that show?
Making me go all over. Meanwhile, talk about Fit Finlay. I'm just going to say, well, my surprise about Fit Finlay is that it took this long for him to come back. Explain to everybody how why he was let go, basically. I think.
What? Why was he let go? Because he made Miz he made Miz cut a promo against, they were singing America the Beautiful or the national anthem, and it was his idea to make Miz interrupt them, and so some military people got pissed and complained, and so it was Fit Finlay's idea as the agent, so he got fired. There were rumblings that he was coming back around WrestleMania time, that actually he was all but back, and so when you say it took this long, I thought that he was, you know, almost officially back, and then it kind of went away, and now I guess the paperwork has been signed.
CM Punk opened that show. That show was the championship match of John Cena defeating Kane was the main event of Elimination Chamber.
That's right. Okay. Was that the Bambulance match?
Yes.
Look it up.
Yeah, excellent. Obviously this really mattered. And we're talking about this is when they're at their best. Yeah.
This was February.
Yeah, so literally the last time he main evented was December. He's had the title 9 months. He's had one in 9 months, essentially. He's had one main event on a pay-per-view. And this is likely to be his second one. Not guaranteed, but likely. And like I say, he's not main eventing. The biggest star, second biggest star in the company, AJ, is. It's AJ's main event. He's just there.
Right, right, yeah. Sonny.
Yeah, actually, that's a great example.
Yeah, John Cena is Shawn Michaels, and AJ is Sonny. And Punk is Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Nitro is doing wonderful over on Spike TV.
All right, any other quick hits you got there? I think we mentioned it. We forgot about it. The backstage fight. Balls and New Jack.
Oh, right, yes. Yes. Tell us all about
Balls. Well, there's been
heat
between
the
two of them for a while. And Balls had said something in an interview recently, and so at this latest this promotion, I can't remember the name of the promotion. It's the one that Shane Douglas is doing.
Oh, right, that's a Lucha Libre.
Yeah, it's the one that Shane Douglas is doing that had so much bad press before. Well, backstage, New Jack. Yeah, that's
Extreme
it.
Rising.
New Jack, I guess, was mad about the latest comments from Balls, so he punched him. And then pulled a machete on him. And Rufflers got in the way before anything too bad happened.
That surprise machete.
A machete, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, not even like a knife. Like a machete. Like... This isn't, like, something he like, tied to his boot.
I just don't even... Yeah. It's not acceptable, man.
Shit.
Do you have anything else to say on this? I don't know what else to say on this.
I was going to say, I don't know. We talked about I mean, what happened is that they met each other backstage, you know, Balls went to throw a punch. He slipped on a bag.
And then Great Khali pulled a knife.
Yeah, this is weird that Balls slipped on a bag. But anyway. But then, he pulled out a machete. And that's the baffling part of it. That's the part that leaves you kind of speechless, is that it's like, it's not a knife. It's not a even a gun, for fuck's sake. It's a machete. Like, what the fuck? Like, your friendly neighborhood
people
machete.
People will book him again.
Well, of course. Vince Russo will.
It's incredible. I think a machete. Know what? Machete would probably be, I think, the machete. Wasn't machete a name of one of the guys who was a member of Mexican America or something like that?
Yes, I think, yes, Machete was the guy that always had the, I think he was like the masked guy that they had, but, or a member of the No Limit Soldiers.
One of the two. Either way, apparently he was pulled out by New Jack.
Yes. Oh, fuck. But speaking of former partners of Hernandez, Homicide also apparently had heat with Balls.
Well, yeah. After this, security was watching. Security was watching New Jack. No, it was not New Jack, not Balls. Oh. It was New Jack that had the heat with Homicide, and security was watching him closely the rest of the night. They didn't remove him. They just watched him closely.
So what you're saying is that security wasn't closely watching Balls.
No, security was not closely watching Balls. No, no. Mall security probably was. That's true.
But Maroney was going to bang Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly.
Well, he probably did. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably did. So. What did I hear Meltzer say on one of the later shows? He said all the divas were having an affair. He said, "Well,
yeah."
Just
he goes,
the
"All
straight
the demons."
Ones.
And then Alvarez is like, "Yeah, no, don't say that." That's he goes, "Well, they are." And he goes, "No, you can't do spreading that." Okay, you're right. Just the straight ones. That's fantastic.
Yes. Right. That's right. So Rosa Mendez is not having an affair.
Excellent. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I think we tackled Raw. We
look
tackled
forward to
SmackDown.
Impact. We don't have anything new to say.
Impact. What do we got on Impact? We have it's Kurt Angle and Mr. Anderson Bound for Glory. They're gonna have the Austin Aries. His first
Gail King
show
versus,
as champion.
Miss Tessmacher, which even that they promoted well, built up and
Joseph,
which will be
Joseph
great
Park and Bully
for me.
Ray.
You know what? That's feud of the year for me so far.
And
seven
well, you know,
in,
and
that's,
I'm
that's
already
leading in my
those...
personal feud of the year, poll.
But you've already given me three matches without looking like you've like they've just been drummed up. Like I didn't read about them online. You actually told me about them the week
like
before.
Like I say, I mean, some of
these
have been promoting for. When's the last time Bully Ray and Joseph Parks actually had a physical confrontation, an extended one, was at a pay-per-view the month before, like 5 weeks ago. So you made me wait. You've made me wait the same thing for Gail Kim and what's her name? And Miss Tessmacher. Brooke Mocker. You know what?
Shane
Tessmacher. Even Tessmacher. Anderson and Angle, while I wouldn't normally be into that, they had a little video where each of them put each other over. Talking about, hey, if I can beat Mr. Anderson has all these skills, and Kurt Angle has all these skills, and basically Angle's going, if I can beat this guy, then I can win this thing, and they really made it seem like it was important, and they put each other over, and it's like, that's how you build it. You make me, you say why you're better, but you say why the other guy is also awesome, to make your accomplishment mean something. It was fantastic. That's how you fucking do pro wrestling.
Well, and it's also pointing out kind of the point again of the Bound for Glory series is that this gives a match that normally I wouldn't give a fuck about, some importance and some meaning behind it. And again, and it's been promoted, and you've got a title match to promote, and you've got a big feud match to promote. Plus, you've got a promo there. The Dead Man's Hand is said that we'll
yeah,
see you next week
also,
to Hogan.
I mean, and they've made me wait for that.
And so that's basically, like, I'm not even – that's five things in a two-hour show that I'm not even – you know, we're not even – I don't even need to look for anything else, right? I mean, they're going to – you're going to have your other stuff,
and Rude,
I mean,
and the fallout from that. Yeah.
Right. So I was including that in the Aries thing in the five. But, I mean, really, that's – So, I mean, you're, and we haven't included Jeff Hardy or James Storm or AJ and the Claire thing and
yeah,
Daniels.
Yeah, Samoa Joe.
I mean,
his,
so,
his momentum that he's gained lately in the Bound for Glory tournament, all this shit.
And Devon is going to have his TV title match that they have every week, right? So, I mean, there's that. So, I did see, by the way, when you were, we were talking about points, I did see online that, well, Samoa Joe has had 6 Bound for Glory matches. The most people have 4. Yeah. There's a few people with 5.
It's not that bad.
But, I mean,
no,
I don't... there's a few, like, AJ, I think, is only at 2. Like, Robbie E. has had 2. So there is a little bit of a discrepancy.
Has he even had that many?
I think the lowest was 2. I think anybody kind of at the bottom just had 2. So, but the majority of the people that were sort of, I said 4 or 5, and I think Joe was the only one with 6.
Yeah.
There might have been one more with 6. But it's not that big of a, even between 2 and 6
well, yeah, exactly.
is easy to make up. So it's not that much of a just difference that we had maybe thought. So so that's better at least. So I think that I'm just looking forward to Impact.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Why? What difference a year can make, man.
No kidding, eh? Like, geez, you think about it last year, and it was like CM Punk cut this great promo, and we were coming off of just a few months of Jeff Hardy showing up a fucking stone drunk in the main event of a pay-per-view. And,
yeah.
And just, you know.
Yep.
It's just crazy. I mean, and you thought, what would we be talking about this time next year? I mean,
and
crazy.
So who knows
it's
while we're sitting here right now,
right.
And you're ready to give up on the one product unless they turn it around. Who knows where 1 year again will stand? And it's tough to say, isn't it?
Well, but again, and that's what I said. I mean, it's that's the nice part about this year over last year is that, you know, without the Punk promo, which we did get. So, I mean, you got to give that to them, is that without that, I mean, all wrestling was shit. So it's now it's we got the Punk promo. Well, now, okay. Now, Raw is shit, but their WWE is shit, but Impact is good. So hopefully, I mean, the only thing we can hope is that if Impact ever, you know, stops being really good, that WWE will turn it around. I have no doubt that WWE will, like you said, kind of right the ship around the Royal Rumble time to that road to WrestleMania, because you're right, that's the best word for it, is it focused, and they have a focus to it. But, I mean, right now, it's all about impact.
And like I said, I'm looking forward to it. All right, man, I think we're, what, OUT? Mo at We Talk Podcast and Mo_WeTalk. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com, at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, and WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. iTunes, Stitcher, all those places is where you can find all
Freaks,
the shows. So
Freaks TV channel, e-blogs continue to come up, guys. Keep on the lookout for it.
Yeah, I know that's going to be good stuff. So that's, I think, I'm going to do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.